This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Sioux City to Sarasota, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we have got a show again for you. Big show for you. NFL, Eli Manning, Dallas, Washington tonight. Rodgers health. Trent Green's going to join us. The NFL on CBS. We'll talk to Trent coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. So stick right there. Always good to have Trent drop on by the show. Trent Green coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. Next hour, longtime NFL linebacker, a man who played for the Baltimore Colts, Stan White is going to join us. Stan has been around the Colts organization for a long time, the Ravens organization for a long time, a football icon in the city of Baltimore. We'll do football with Stan, plus talk Ohio State. He's a Buckeye. We'll do college football playoff with Stan, and so much more coming up next hour on the show. We are finally getting to the review of one Sean Mraz, radio host. 1 week ago, he took over the airwaves and CBS Sports Radio would never be the same. We've got to go back over and grade out how the Thictator did in his first two shows as a host. That's coming up next hour here on the program. If you missed any part of Mraz, that's okay. A lot of people did. It was the middle of the night. But we will replay some of the best moments coming up in a little over an hour from now. Is Herm going to be a disaster in Arizona State? Did the Packers make a mistake putting Aaron Rodgers on IR? And would you attend an 0-16 parade? All of that is this morning on the show. And, because this is the show that perfectly melds sports and food unlike any other.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
We will be trying for the first time a historic piece of food for the sports fan, especially now that the holidays upon us. You're running around. You're doing some shopping. You're in and out of the car. You need something quick. What if I told you I could take Cheetos, and I could take melted cheese, and I could put them together, and then I could fry them, and you could get it in a drive-thru? Mraz, not bad.
Not bad at all.
So BK's going to drop on by later into the show, Flamin' Cheetos Mac and Cheese Bites.
Mac and Cheetos. They're not called bites.
Mac and Cheetos. Okay, just want to know what we're doing. Okay, that's later on in the show.
Yes, excited.
It's a happy good morning to everybody. So that's all coming up this morning on the show. As always, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. And you can watch us at watchda.com as well. The sparkling Technicolor simulcast going on as we speak. This year has been an awkward one for the NFL. This year has been a season filled with off-the-field issues, controversies that have kind of cast a bit of a pall over the entire season and the entire league. We have yet another battle going on within the league walls about a player being suspended. Ezekiel Elliott, the threatened lawsuit from Jerry Jones, more controversy about player safety, concussions, places in America where participation in football is waning. We have discussion about relocation of teams being a money grab instead of actually what works for the league, looking at attendance woes in Los Angeles for the Rams and for the Chargers. And of course, we have the protests by players protesting what they feel is racial inequality by kneeling during the national anthem. This, of course, made it all the way up to the president, and we have now a very polarized situation about what players should do. So, the year of 2017, I think, in the NFL's annals is going to be looked at as a sideways season. Everything kind of came to light. Everything was front and center, and most of it not good. Combine that with 1,000 different injuries to all of these superstar players, and this has been a tough season for a lot of fans, ratings eroding as well. So because of all of this, the NFL has now gone out of its way to listen to the players when it comes to the reasons that they're kneeling. And this is an interesting story today, because the outcropping of all of that stuff that I just mentioned with the NFL this season is that the league is going to contribute nearly $90 million over 7 seasons. So what is that, about $12 million a year? To projects dealing with criminal justice reform, law enforcement and community relations, and education. The NFL and a group of players reached an agreement late last night to partner on a plan to address the social justice issues that are important to the players. Well, let's say this. You might not like that the players kneel during what you believe is a sacred song or an emotional moment. And I get it. I understand that. I understand why people feel that way about the national anthem. But it should also be noted that while I have crucified the NFL for a lot of things, this is, to me, the best solution. The players have a voice because they are the players. The owners have the money because they are the owners. And so how do you make these two sides come together? You use the money of the owners to help the players and their causes. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
I know the amount of guys that we have that are committed to actually, working in a way that is for progress and really excited and enthusiastic about doing things in their community, and they're still on board. And so we're moving forward with that, and I think we have some potential to actually get some real work done.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's Malcolm Jenkins on the issue. Look, $90 million is a lot of coin. That's a lot of money to go to a lot of different programs and projects and start the ball rolling towards positivity, positive change, which is a really good thing. And I like this type of solution. It doesn't necessarily mean the players have to stand for the national anthem. But what it says is we're working together. And I think this is an important piece of the puzzle that people miss. The NBA, which has as many outspoken people about social justice things and social causes and what they feel is right and wrong, more than the NFL. I mean, you've got coaches, you've got players. The NBA has spoken its mind a number of times, but they're not kneeling during the national anthem. You might ask yourself why. From a racial composition standpoint, it's very similar. So what's the difference? The difference is that players in the NBA feel as though their voices are heard, that they are part of an important piece of their organization, that they are valued. In the NFL, they feel like a cog in a machine, and that the owners and coaches are completely against where they stand socially. And so they feel like this is a way to plant their flag. In the NBA, nobody's kneeling during the national anthem because they feel more part of an organization that hears them, that will do something for them, that it's players first. And Adam Silver has kind of continually talked about that. So now the NFL is forced to value the players' opinions and support them in their causes. And I think that's cool, man. I think that's really cool. And so now it's up to the players. Now you've got a huge chunk of change. And now you've got a coalition, a committee to do what's right with that money. It's up to you what you need to do with it, where you feel like it's right. But now you need the leadership. You asked for change. Well, money incites a lot of change. Not everything. You've got to change a lot of things about life and about America, about how people think. But money goes a long way towards change. So now the players need to step up with solid leadership to utilize this, to use it the right way, to continue to make this something positive. And if they feel like the owners are at least listening to them, maybe there's less of a reason to need to kneel, which is basically a cry for attention. You have Eric Reed and Michael Thomas, two guys that have been politically outspoken, breaking off from the coalition. And the NFL players need to take this moment and take it very seriously. Who are the leaders? What are the causes? How will this be utilized? Kneeling got the job done to a certain degree. It got you $90 million to spread out over 7 years. Now, use it correctly. Find the right people to execute it. Find the people that are trustworthy and leaders and can work together with other organizations and will be ones that can be beacon of light people. Not Ben McAdoo, real change people. Because we need that. We could all use that. But we need strong, solid, bright-minded people to do so. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, your best audio of the day. It's sound check time. Kirby Hocut weighing in on the college football playoff. Clay Matthews on Aaron Rodgers. Should he have gone an IR? And John Mara trying to clean up the mess of the Giants. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The glitch in the simulation.
You know, Aaron Rodgers broke his heart. Hashtag stay away from me, buddy. A video that, you know, I've gone to psychological counseling for.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Next week, we unveil the beginning of the 12 DAs of Christmas.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
The 12 best moments of the calendar year here on the show. And get away from me, buddy. As Aaron Rodgers told Mraz, as Mraz tried to show him video of his Speedo Crisco birdseed laden bet with his pinkish hue on his Buddha belly in Central Park, that may have to make the top 12 moments of the year. Hard to imagine it doesn't. We'll talk more about Aaron Rodgers' health status. It should be noted, Mraz did put a hex, did put a jinx on Aaron Rodgers once he told Mraz to, quote, get away from me, buddy, at a Scottsdale bar during the Final Four. When it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the parts you need to keep your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Trent Green's going to join us coming up here on the show. He's going to drop on by in a few minutes, about 40 minutes after the hour. Second straight week on a Wednesday, Tom Brady was held out of practice. Sore Achilles. 40 years old. Would it shock anybody if Tom Brady's shoulder was fine, his arm was fine, but his Achilles started to go? Now, I know that Tom Brady fancies himself as a guy that can't get injured. I mean, he can't even get sunburned. He's so hydrated all the time. But think about the quarterbacks that have lost Achilles. Dan Marino comes to mind. Marino's late stages of his career completely hobbled because while his arm was great, he couldn't move around anymore. His Achilles popped, and that was it. He was never the same. The Patriots risked everything by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo when they did. And what happens if Tom Brady's Achilles pops during the playoffs? And what happens if that now is the beginning of the end for Brady, and next season he looks like 37-year-old Dan Marino, even though he's 41-year-old Tom Brady? Amazing mind, amazing skill, amazing arm, but he can't walk around so well and can't run anymore, and he can't slide out of the pressure. Huge gamble by the Patriots trading away Jimmy Garoppolo when they did. Huge. The Patriots have gambled a lot, and it's worked. They've bet on themselves a lot, and they've made a lot of money. Bill Belichick is one of the greatest of all time, but this is the biggest gamble they've ever taken, because Garoppolo could have kept that window open. Brady has missed the last two Wednesday practices with a sore Achilles. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Kirby Hocutt is on the College Football Playoff Committee. He joined the TJ Rivers College Football Playoff Podcast. How about Alabama?
For Alabama, the only team out of our top eight that's not going to play this weekend. You know, we have their complete resume. We have their body of work in front of us at 11-1. You know, a very successful season to win 11 games. Alabama fought through some injuries this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Continue to play at a high level there. Some quality wins over LSU, Mississippi State, even Fresno State, who climbed into that 25th spot in our ranking this week. So, you know, you're right. The other seven teams have an opportunity to make a strong impression on the selection committee, and we've seen all of Alabama that we're going to have a chance to see this season.
So let's talk about this for a moment. ACC title game is a play-in game. SEC title game is a play-in game. Loser of those games will not get in. So, who's the first team in? If Oklahoma beats TCU, the only chance either Ohio State or Alabama have of crashing the party, and those are the first two teams out. Even though Ohio State is rated lower, those are the first two teams out. If Oklahoma beats TCU, it leaves only one way to get in for either of those teams. Ohio State, obviously, to beat Wisconsin. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin, they will have won their conference tournament, or conference championship, rather, and they would have two losses. Alabama sits there with one loss but can't win the SEC. I think as it stands, Alabama is the first team to slide in there, even if Ohio State wins that football game. I really believe that, and that the only way the Buckeyes get in, because that second loss to Iowa, the committee is going to hold against Ohio State. They are not going to be able, in my estimation, to hop Alabama. The only way Ohio State makes it in is if both TCU and Ohio State wins. And I've said all along, I think the committee wants to avoid putting two teams in the same conference in this tournament. But I think the way that they view that loss to Iowa, even with a win over Wisconsin, that loss to Iowa is the death knell to Ohio State. I really believe that. That they need two slots to open up to get in there, even with a win. I think that gives Bama the first chance to slide into the top four. Because you can look at the loss at home to Oklahoma in some of the same ways that Alabama lost to Auburn, losing to a college football playoff team. But then that second loss happening in the regular season and getting blown out by an Iowa team that was very average this season is going to be the thing that Ohio State can't jump over if they're trying to jump over Alabama. Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers.
This past week, being a part of that rehab group, to watch Aaron, what he's been doing in there, I think we probably should have kept him off IR. I mean, the way he's coming along, I mean, some of these balls he's throwing, accuracy-wise, and you know, everything that a quarterback has to do is pretty remarkable. So it'd be really neat to see him out there. Unfortunately, he'll have to wait, I think, 2 weeks prior to coming back. But who knows if it'll give us a boost or a jolt, but it's always good when you get your studs back.
So this is interesting. Clay Matthews saying, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers, and we should not have put him on IR, meaning Aaron Rodgers might be healthy to go now, but at least he'd be healthier to go and quicker than if we have to put him on this IR, because we did have to put him on the IR. He can come back earlier if we didn't put him on there, where he has to miss a minimum of 6 weeks. The Packers may have done themselves wrong by wanting to open up a roster spot. And Aaron Rodgers, you can't really count out, because the guy is a Superman. And I wonder if it's going to be too little too late, because they're already 2 games behind the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks for that final wild card spot in the NFC. The good news is all the teams near the bottom of the pack of the NFC playoff race right now have to play one another down the stretch. So somebody's going to get handed losses. But basically, the Packers are looking at needing to win out, because they're 5-6 right now. They've got to go 10-6 to have any shot. 9-7 is not getting into the NFC playoffs this year. That they might have done themselves in by putting Aaron Rodgers on IR, which would be such a shame. And finally, John Mara, who couldn't have butchered the Eli Manning situation any worse.
The timing of it could have been a little different. I wish I could have been here, when that was all going down. But what I did not expect, and, you know, this is my fault, I was probably naive, I did not expect Eli to react by saying that, go ahead and start the other guys.
So, John Mara, yesterday, should have shown major contrition. And all he said was, I wish I was around, and maybe the timing would have been better. But he said, show me a better way to do it. Show you a better way to do it? I wish one of the Giants beat reporters raised their hand and said, okay, John, here's how you do it. At the podium, you're there. Jerry Reese is there. 2 Vince Lombardi trophies are there. You wax poetic about Eli Manning's contributions to the organization. You talk about how he's going to be in the Ring of Honor one day. You talk about how hard a decision this was. And then Eli, with some diplomacy, with his self-respect and dignity, is at the podium answering questions instead of Ben McAdoo suddenly dropping this bomb, a short memo going out, and Eli being forced to answer questions in front of a whooping and hollering locker room as he's fighting through tears to explain it to a beat reporter that hasn't spoken to the owner or the general manager yet, John. Actually, there's a couple of much better ways you could have done it, John. And answer the question, John. Why are you going to Geno and not just Davis Webb, John? Because if you were at the podium, you could answer that question before Eli had to. When we come back, Trent Green, the NFL on CBS. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open Open now for brunch.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network. Our good friend, Steve Weiss. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Trent Green scheduled to join us this morning. Remember to watch at watchda.com. The digital simulcast going on there as we speak. Live in sparkling Technicolor every single day. Watch on your phone, on your PC, your laptop, or your smart TV. Watch the DA show every single day at watchda.com. Daniel tweets a picture of his sweatpants and says, "Hey, DA, look what I'm about to wear. Ooga booga, ooga booga. Yes, I'm a slob, but if I'm going to help my wife wrap presents, I'm going to be comfortable. Hashtag Team Araz." We'll address this, an ongoing storyline, whether sweatpants are appropriate in public or not, as we make our way through the morning. However, time to talk a little football with our good friend, former Kansas City Chief, Pro Bowl quarterback, and analyst for the NFL on CBS. Will be on the call Sunday when the Texans take on the Titans. Big one for Tennessee, trying to remain near the top of that AFC South. You can also catch him Mondays throughout the season. NFL Monday QB on CBS Sports Network, Trent Green. Good morning, Trent.
Hey, DA, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And in the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars are at the top. The Tennessee Titans are right there as well. When you handicap the final 4 or 5 weeks of this season, who do you think will come out on top and win that division?
You know, I think it's all going to come down to week 17. Tennessee and Jacksonville play each other that week, and I think I think that's what it's ultimately going to come down to. I think when you look at it from a schedule standpoint, Tennessee has Houston this week, then they go to Arizona. They got San Francisco. They do have to play the L.A. Rams at home, though, before finishing up with Jacksonville. So it's important that they get these wins the next 3 weeks, get themselves to 10-4, and then go into that Rams game and the Jacksonville game with everything on the line. So. I'm excited to see it. It's Tennessee has won 5 of the last 6. They haven't always been pretty. They're finding ways to win close games. Marcus Mariota has had some struggles recently, but they're finding ways to win. And I think we all are pretty aware with what Jacksonville's doing and how good their defense is playing. And Bortles has had some inconsistencies this season, but. When times have been there for him, he's been able to make the plays, and obviously having a good running game around him, and like I said, that defense. So I'm excited to see how this thing. It's kind of been a Houston Indianapolis dominated division for quite some time. So Tennessee and Jacksonville makes it interesting.
Titans and Jaguars are both 7-4 right now. Titans have a tiebreaker at the moment over the Jaguars, 3-1 in the division. Jaguars are 2-1. Obviously, they have a game in hand. So with the Eli Manning situation, I was covering the Kansas City Chiefs when you were coming to the end of your career in Kansas City as well, and it was a very highly charged environment. A lot of Chiefs fans didn't want to see you go. A lot of people within the organization, teammates that you had, were upset because they thought maybe you were being given the runaround. Eventually, you left and you went to the Miami Dolphins. So I'm sure you have some relationship to what has happened in New York this week with Eli Manning. How difficult is it when you've sweat and teared and played and gutted out so many games for a team, and then they're basically saying, you know what, we've got to go in a different direction?
You know, it is. It's a difficult thing. I think it's just human nature. None of us as people want to be told that, we're not good enough or we don't have you in our plans or we're going to move in a different direction. That's just not a good conversation to have. And I do. I feel for Eli. I think the fact that he's been there his whole career, obviously the accomplishments that he's done with the Giants speak for themselves. It's been pretty special. The career that he has, I know he's taken some criticism for his body language and facial expressions and those kinds of things. I think people like having fun at that, but what you can't argue is he's a pro. He prepares every week. His teammates have been very complimentary in recent days about what kind of teammate he is, what kind of leader he is, something's going to happen. If he wants to play, if he wants to continue playing, there are going to be opportunities for him because it's a quarterback needy league, and someone's going to give him a chance. It's just bad when it ends the way that it has. The season has been over a long time for the Giants, and the fact that now they're going to you know, now they're going to look to the future and see, you know, see what that future may hold. It's never a good time or, you know, a good conversation to have when you're that player.
Was there a better way for the Giants to handle this? And if so, what do you think it was?
Oh, I think probably the only way that would make it better would be to just let him ride out the season and then afterwards say, hey, if we're going to go a different direction, go a different direction, to bench him in the middle of the season with the type of season that they're having. I don't know. I think there's different ways you can handle it. Obviously, McAdoo's on the hot seat. Whether or not I have a hard time believing this was completely 100% his decision. I think there's got to be some other motivators that are going on there. So, it's never good timing.
Trent Green joins us, the NFL on CBS. The Green Bay Packers are probably wondering whether they should have put Aaron Rodgers on IR. When you hear broken collarbone, you think, well, yeah, you're going to be out for most of the season. But right now, Clay Matthews is saying, you know what, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers throw the football pretty well, and we need him back right now. What do you think? Can Aaron Rodgers come back at the end of the season and maybe make a difference for the Packers in the playoff race?
You know, I think he can come back. I think the collarbone is one of those deals that obviously medically you have to decide. I know he's talked about the number of screws and stuff that he has in there that stabilized it. They have to determine if the bone has healed enough to where it can take a hit. And take a hit similar to what he did before when someone's landing on top of you and that's just the nature of playing the position. Whether or not they're still in the mix, it's going to be hard. The NFC is pretty stacked up. The game tonight between Dallas and Washington, I think whoever loses that is out. So the winner of that gets the 6-6, and that doesn't even mean they're in the mix. That just means they have a chance to be in the mix because of how strong the NFC South is with New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta, and then you look at the Rams and Seattle. There's a long way to go to kind of work your way back. And then Detroit's right on the verge there at 6-5. So, it's if Green Bay gets the win and they can suddenly be a part of that conversation, then I guess you have to very, very seriously consider it because Aaron Rodgers, if you get a chance to get him back and you still got a chance, I think you got to take it.
Your old team, the Kansas City Chiefs, really struggling right now offensively. They were so good early in the season. Alex Smith was so good creating big plays, and they just can't seem to figure it out right now, losing 5 of their last 6 games. How can the Chiefs fix this in the final 5 weeks?
Well, I think first off, they got to get the run game going. Kareem Hunt, even though he's still second in the league in rushing, it's not because of recent games. The offensive line has to play better. They need to create more running lanes. They're getting to a point now where defenses are like, okay, as long as we can stop Tyreek Hill from getting that big dynamic play, the big touchdown play, let's let Travis Kelce get his 7-8 catches, 100 yards, whatever it may be. But it's not an Antonio Brown or, Julio Jones kind of thing, just because the speed's not there. It's different, right? So you're focused on, okay, take away the big play threat. You got rid of Macklin at the beginning of the year. Chris Conley got hurt. So now you got DeMarcus Robinson and Albert Wilson, and you're trying to piece together what the rest of the offense is going to be. And then struggles with the offensive line. They've had injuries on the interior part of the offensive line. I mean, we can go on and on about some of the issues. And Alex isn't playing as well. You start off 5-0, and Kareem Hunt's playing the way he is, and Alex is throwing the ball downfield. And I'm not going to shy away from the fact, after 5 weeks, I think he was the front runner for the MVP. It would be hard-pressed to, even though Tom was playing the way he was, the fact that the Kansas City went in there and beat New England in the opener, and Alex hadn't thrown an interception in 5 games. It was his, and now all of a sudden, no running game. The pass protection's gotten worse. The down the field throws have gone away. Now it's more to the dink and dunk. So they've got to get that fixed. They've got to get back on track. I think some of it is just confidence and attitude, and defensively they need to create some turnovers. They haven't been doing a lot of that lately. Getting them field position, that was really the formula they had a year ago. So there's a number of different areas they need to address.
Trent Green joins us. Final question about tonight's game, Washington and Dallas. From a Dak Prescott perspective, this is a young man that was great last year. Now he loses his left tackle. He loses his running back at Ezekiel Elliott, and people are saying he got exposed. Do you think it's fair to grade Dak Prescott when he's missing those pieces right now and not playing well?
Oh, I think it's always fair to grade it, you know, at any point in time. It's, but that's why football is the ultimate team game, because, you know, you hear it all the time. You need all 11 guys, and yes, a quarterback can cover up some deficiencies, and sometimes the other positions cover up the deficiencies you have at quarterback. And I think Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. I think he has a great and incredible future ahead of him. It just shows you the balance that they need to have. With Ezekiel Elliott, the last time they played Washington, he had 150 yards rushing. You know, Dallas was able to win that by 15 points. They, you get the play action pass, all those things. So since Elliott's been out, Dallas is 0-3. Dak has no touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. There has to be balance there. I mean, because right now there's not that threat. Smith missed those two games, as you mentioned. He was back last week, but it's still, having that big play back is a difference maker, because now teams, instead of going, you know, 8 in the box or safeties down low or rolling corners or whatever it may be to affect the run game, now all of a sudden, those one-on-ones you're getting on the outside, now you've got cover 2, cover 4, cover 6. You got roll coverages. You got different things that are affecting the passing game as well. So all that goes into play.
Trent Green, analyst, NFL on CBS. On the call on Sunday, Texans take on the Titans. Tennessee looking to stay atop the AFC South, the Jaguars. You can also catch him Mondays throughout the season, NFL Monday QB on CBS Sports Network. Trent, always fun catching up, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, D.A., good talking to you.
You too. Trent Green, Pro Bowl quarterback, joining us here on the show. I'll be perfectly honest here, man. I thought Dak Prescott showed so much poise, playmaking last year, that even when they lost Zeke and lost Smith, I said, okay, the Cowboys aren't going to be dominant like they were last season at 13-3, but Dak's going to make plays. I felt like Dak had the composure, had the playmaking, had the arm, had the mind to be able to maybe not make up for it completely, but not make the Cowboys look awful. And the fact is, he has not lived up to that expectation. I was wrong. Now, losing Sean Lee has exposed that defense, but we knew the Cowboys' defense wasn't very good anyway. But when you look at the offense the last 3 weeks, it's been brutal. The Cowboys scored 7 against Atlanta, 9 against the Eagles, 6 on Thanksgiving against the Chargers. Single digits, 3 straight weeks without Zeke. That comes down to Dak. Look, I know losing your left tackle for a pair of games in the middle of that has to factor in. And you played 3 potential playoff teams, 2 of which are in the playoffs right now if the season ended, the Falcons, the Eagles, and Philadelphia is one of the best teams in football. But if you've watched the Cowboys, Cowboys fans know, Dak has not made plays like he did last year. And I think now, because defenses don't respect the ground game like they did, because you don't have that inherent sledgehammer at running back with Zeke, they're testing Dak through the air. Okay, young buck, beat us. Beat us with your arm. Beat us through the air. And he's been dreadful. Dak's been dreadful. I like Dak Prescott a lot. I think he's got a lot going for him. I think he's got a really good head on his shoulders. I think he understands what it takes to win. I think last year was a taste of what he could be in the league. But he has failed these last 3 weeks miserably. Failed. So have the Cowboys. That's why Dallas is 5-6. That's why Dallas, with a loss tonight, would drop basically out of the playoff race, because you've got to be 10-6 to make the playoffs of the NFC, in my mind. Got to be 10-6. And right now, they're at 5-6. A loss tonight all but eliminates the Cowboys from the playoffs, and they still have dates with the Seahawks and the Eagles to round out the season. The hope would be that Philly has nothing to play for and rests all of its starters, but that one's in Philly on New Year's Eve. Dallas can't afford to lose tonight. It amounts to a must-win to keep any flickering hopes alive of the postseason. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Herm Edwards, one of the great sound bites of all time, is going to take over as head coach yet again. But is this merely a disaster waiting to happen? Hello! Hello! Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.